Well, good morning. Happy New Year to everybody. Trying to think how you follow up a video like that, you know. I want to thank all of you for coming. I know most of you didn't know that I was going to be here today, so I appreciate everybody not making a mad rush for the door. The first service did throw tomatoes, so if you could wait until at least mid-message, I'd appreciate it. It is my first time up here, so still a little nervous, but getting my feet wet. So obviously you can see that I'm not John. If it's your first time here, I apologize. Come back next week. I'm sure it's going to be a lot better for sure. I don't know if it's a compliment to be standing here before you, or if we kind of collectively as a church really need to question John's judgment when it comes to his stand-ins. But I'll let you be the judge of that, and we'll get into that here in a little bit. But the video itself, you know, that's the basis of what I want to discuss with you today. And that's pretty much the power of God's love and what He can do within our lives with just a little bit of trust. And hence the new attitude for the new year. Let me start from the start. You know, John and I have gotten together on several different occasions and sat down. And I've talked with him about, you know, my journey, my coming to Christ, you know, some of the things that I've been through. And he's asked me today to kind of get up here and just give a little bit of my testimony. So I feel very grateful to be able to stand up here and give that to you. I don't know if it's going to be a good thing for all of you, but it's a good thing for me, so I'm glad to be standing here before you. But let me start from the start. First off, for those of you who don't know me, my name's Luke Risen. I was born in Tiffin, Ohio, to both my parents, Mark and Diane Risen. Most of you probably at some time or another have run into my mom and dad. My dad was here. They just moved to Chicago, but my dad's been up here a few times and gave the message. They just moved to Chicago as of late for my dad's work. They're doing very well, found a new church out there. I'm sure you'll see them here again time and again. But they're back and forth from Chicago and here quite a bit, so I'm sure you'll see them some weekend here in the future. I have a sister. Her name's Pam. A few years younger than I am. She's engaged to be married. Good, bad, or indifferent. We're going to Riviera de Maya here in January for her wedding. So kind of looking forward to that, kind of not, you know, but lo and behold, we'll be there. Beautiful wife named Sarah, who's sitting right over here. Two sons, Braden and Jace, one's 7 and one's 4. So needless to say, as far as my family and friends are concerned, I'm a very blessed man. Like I said, I grew up in Tiffin, had a great childhood. Wasn't lacking in a whole lot. Pretty much was a all-around well-rounded childhood. I had two fantastic role models, obviously my parents, who are still married today, which I consider a pretty substantial feat, considering, you know, some of the things I put them through when I was younger. And I know this day and age, it's rare. You know, it's rare to have two people in your life that still, after, you know, quite a few years of marriage, are still very in love, still married, and still good role models for me in my adult years. I did well in school without a whole lot of effort, or very little effort. Had quite a few friends. You know, like I said, my childhood, I always thought if as an adult now, I could look back and wish for a childhood for myself, or a child for any matter. You know, my childhood growing up was pretty ideal. Didn't have a whole lot of problems. Good, bad, or indifferent, it didn't help me with my relationship with God much. And the reason I say that isn't because my parents weren't involved with church or that, you know, my religion or my faith at that time wasn't instilled with me or in me at a young age, but it's simply because I didn't have a whole lot of problems. You know, and I found through growing up that the problems are what forced me to start to rely on God. You know, when things were going well, when I wasn't having very many issues, I didn't have any reason. You know, I felt that I didn't have any reason. You know, 10, 12, 15 years old, Who focuses on God, right? You know, you got all these other things going in your life, whether it's the opposite sex or it's work or school or whatever else. But, you know, I thought that I had a fairly good grasp on what God was, you know, and I had a good knowledge base. I think if I would have gotten a pop quiz at any time as far as the Bible was concerned, I'd probably pass with a D, but, you know, I'd get by. But as far as my relationship with God, I really did not have that. But that foundation was there, and that foundation was what prepared me for things to come in the future that I wasn't expecting. Now, before I continue on, I want to divulge to you a problem that I have, a problem that I'm not afraid to speak about anymore. But it's a problem that really has defined my relationship with God. Because without this fact, you know, a lot of my story won't make a whole lot of sense. But I am a very grateful recovering alcoholic. I've been sober for over 4.5 years now. And like I said, this has really defined my relationship with God because it was the fundamental problem that I couldn't solve. You know, in my time of drinking, I was spiritually, emotionally, and physically spent. You know, I had nowhere else to go. But I'll get into that here in a little bit. But that is what has defined my relationship. And like I said, without that fact, some of this may or may not make sense. So keep that in mind as I'm rolling through this. I never thought I'd say it though. You know, that I'm grateful. That I'm grateful to be a recovering alcoholic. And the reason I am grateful is, like I said, God knew exactly what I needed to get through to me. You know, a lot of the problems that I had throughout my life, I was able to solve on my own. You know, whether it was financial problems. You know, problems with friends. I was kind of a problem solver. You know, that's what I do at my job. But this was one of those things that I could not fix. I couldn't figure it out. You know, it was something that I couldn't fix it because the problem was me, you know. And it really forced me to put my reliance on God. And that's what's, you know, defined my relationship with Him. But just so you kind of understand where I came from, I'm not going to get into all the gory details of my drinking career. But I did get a DUI when I was 16 years old. Of course, my parents were thrilled at the time, as was my girlfriend, who is now my wife, thankfully. I've been to rehab for several weeks at a time. I've been arrested. I've been arrested for fighting. I've been thrown out of my home. I've been on the brink of divorce. I made my wife pick me up at jail when she was 8 months pregnant with our second son. I've stolen. I've lied. You know, I've basically taken everything that God's given me and completely taken it all for granted. And all of these characteristics of myself, they manifested themselves in their worst fashion when I was drinking. You know, that was my escape. You know, I was always looking for something to fill that hole, and that's how I filled it. And all it did was create that cycle of insanity, you know, where things just kept happening, and I'd blame God, and, you know, why do I feel like this? And, you know, I'd continue to do it, and I wouldn't look inside myself and hold myself accountable for my own actions. But like I said, I've been to rehab, counseling, attended online self-help seminars, you know, the list goes on and on. I tried everything under the sun to fill that void that I felt in my life, but nothing ever lasted. You know, I always had brief moments of happiness. I'd get a raise at work, or I'd get a promotion, or we went on vacation and we had a good time. You know, there were always brief moments of happiness. But, you know, all in all, whether it be the next day, the next few days, even the next few hours, it would fade. You know, and that old feeling would come back of, you know, why am I here? What am I doing? Have I missed out on something? You know, why do I feel this way? Why am I depressed? You know, what's going on in my life? But I'm telling you all this as a witness to what I know that works. You know, it worked for me, and I truly believe it will and can work for everybody else. Because I've done everything else. You know, I tried everything, and I'm not going to go into the list, but I've tried everything. You know, everything other than looking internally, I've tried, and none of it worked. Like I said, there were brief moments where it worked, but it wasn't a long-lasting peace and serenity and fix that I now feel that I can have. I don't always have it by any stretch of the imagination. You know, I have to make a conscious decision every day to try and do the right thing. But I now have the tools. I know what the fix is. And now I'm a little more prepared for life, you know, with my kids, with my wife, with my family, with everything that goes around, you know, in everybody's lives. I now have the tools to keep peaceful and to be right with myself as I move forward. The answer for me was a tangible relationship with God, you know, accepting Jesus Christ as my Savior and holding myself accountable for my own actions. You know, that's what the answer was. It's scary. It's really scary, you know, having to talk to people and admit your faults, admit where you were wrong, admit where you were self-seeking and egotistical. You know, I knew I was all those things. I just never wanted to admit it. I especially didn't want to admit it to somebody that I was doing it to. Of course, you know, I was never wrong. It was always their fault or their problem, or it was always an outside circumstance that was causing whatever issue I was having, but it wasn't true. Internally, it was always me. Always me, you know. And coming to that realization that the only person that can change that is me. You know, I have the power to do anything that I want at any time, but it's always up to me. And sometimes it's hard to make that decision. It's hard to make that decision on a day-to-day basis, but you have to force yourself through it. You know, I know John would always say, act your way into a feeling. Don't feel your way into an action. And that's what I had to do. I didn't feel it. I didn't feel love. I didn't feel like I wanted to apologize to the people that I hurt. I didn't feel any of those things. But with the help that I received, with relying on God and asking others for help who had the same problem, I acted my way into that feeling. You know, I didn't want to apologize to my wife. I didn't want to apologize to my family. I didn't want to apologize to my friends. But I did it. You know, I shut my brain off and I moved forward and I did it and I started to feel it. My life started to change because of it. You know, and all of a sudden those habits that you have, that void starts to seemingly get a little bit less as you move forward and you start to feel happy again. But basically God did for me what I couldn't do for myself. Plain and simple. There was no way that I could figure it out. There's nothing I could do. There's no way I could earn my way back into the good graces of others. God did that for me. He knew exactly what I needed in order to get through to me. And I thank Him every single day for His persistence. He never gave up, you know. I was always trying to get away, always trying to move in the opposite direction, but He always brought me back. Now, unfortunately, bringing me back meant, you know, I was going into another bout of a big issue. But His persistence kept that hole open, you know. He kept making me want to find Him. And like I said, that alcoholism, my drinking, was a vehicle that got me closer to God. So, you know, as a whole, I think, you know, everybody can relate. You can take your worst, your absolute worst nightmare and make it one of your greatest successes. You know, if you just, it's up to you. It's up to you on how you react to it. It's up to you on the decisions that you make towards it. But as far as that relationship is concerned, you know, I'm not talking about the philosophical Sunday morning only type of relationship with God. It's a deep, you know, down and dirty, hand in hand, asking for guidance at all times, trusting without doubt, just stupid, illogical relationship with God. You know, shutting your brain off and just saying, you know what? I'm done trying to figure this out. I'm done. You know, I can't do it anymore. I want to take myself out of the equation. You tell me what to do. And I may not feel it, but I'm going to go that way just because that's what I'm supposed to do. You know, and it's extremely, extremely difficult. I've been doing it now for 4.5 years. I've been trying to do it for about 8 years now, you know, and I'm still not even close to where, you know, I feel I need to be. But it's not about perfection. It's about progress. And as long as you're moving in the right direction, He's going to bless what you're doing. You know, He's going to smile down on you, and He's going to bless your life in the same way that He's blessed mine. I mean, the overabundance of what I have now. I mean, you really think about it, where I came from, what I was, you know, and in my early 20s, I was not a good person. You know, I didn't appreciate anything. I didn't appreciate anyone. I didn't know what I was doing. I put myself first in everything. And now, good, bad, or indifferent, I'm standing in front of all you giving this message. You know, I mean, to go from that to that, to me, it's an absolute miracle. You know, I could never do this 5 years ago. No way. I didn't have it in me. It wasn't there. You know, and He stepped in and He's filled me with that. And am I like that all the time? I think my wife will attest that I'm not, right? I mean, I still have the same issues. Like I said, I still have the same problems. But it's the ability to lean on Him and to ask for His help and then act in that fashion. I don't want to say that the road was easy, but I think He's made it pretty easy for me. You know, because I can see those tangible results when I go to a wedding. You know, and I don't have to drink anymore to have a good time. When we went to Kalahari over the New Year's, and I didn't have to drink to have a good time. You know, those results are real. You know, I could not do that 7 years ago. There was no way I could do it. And for me, having that constant reminder of how He's affected my life is critical. You know, and we all have it. We all have it in some way, shape, or form where you've had a problem, you've leaned on Him, you've helped Him, you just have to remember it. You know, fortunately for me, it's a constant urge, so I'm constantly reminded of it, and that's what I need. Like I said, I think it's easier for me now because I have that reminder. It wasn't an easy path to get there, but it's there now, you know, and as long as I continue to make the right decisions on a daily basis and continue to lean on Him, things tend to work out. You know, they work out the way that they're supposed to work out, and He welcomed me back. You know, that's the basis of the video that we saw earlier. God loves you. He loves you. He loves me. You know, even though I spit on everything that He provided for me, you know, I blamed Him for all my problems. I did nothing to help myself. I treated others like dirt. I was a bad friend. I was a bad husband, thoughtless son. You know, all those things that I was, he still loved me. You know, he still loves you. And he wants to be in your life. And the only person that could stop God from coming into my life was me. Plain and simple. You know, the same goes for everybody here. The only thing that stops God from coming into your life in a full manner is yourselves. You know, we just have to make that decision to drop our barriers. That's what I had to do. You know, I had to display humility, kindness, forgiveness. Those are the actions that I needed to take in order for God to come into my life. Action is the real life proof of my faith. And these are the actions that were required for me to rebuild that bridge that I destroyed through all my decision-making in the past. But we were made for a purpose. You know, we're not accidents. I'm not an accident. The things that I went through growing up was not an accident. There was a bigger purpose for it. I didn't know what that purpose was at the time. I didn't think I'd ever see it, but it was there. You know, and it's still there today. You know, I never believed that there was going to be a purpose for my suffering when I was in the middle of it. You know, I never thought I'd see my way out. I never thought that I would be using that as a way to convey a message to fellow believers. But here it is, you know, and it takes time sometimes. Sometimes it's quick, sometimes it's slow, but in the end, it does work out for your greatest good. As it ends up, you know, this has been, this alcoholism has been what's defined my relationship with God. And it's brought me closer to Him than I've ever imagined, because it forced me to rely on Him. Without expectation, without an agenda, without my ego, I just completely relied on Him and said, if this is what you want me to do, this is what I need to do. I closed my eyes, shut my brain off, took myself out of the equation, and just moved forward. And that's what I needed to do. I was spiritually, emotionally, and physically spent, and I had nowhere else to go. And He was there. You know, He was there waiting. He was there waiting the whole time. You know, just trying, pushing, trying to bring me back. And I just pushed Him away. Every time I did something that was egotistical, every time I did something that was all about me, you know, I just built that barrier up. But He was there waiting the whole time. And all I needed to do was accept the gift of grace, accept the fact that His Son died on the cross for my sins. And it wasn't about earning my way back into His graces. It was just about acceptance. And it was about accepting that grace that was given from Him. And I later found out that it's not about deserving. You just have to accept. In Romans 3:23-24, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. We need to accept Him as our personal Lord and Savior, and we've been forgiven. You know, God can welcome us back into that relationship now. Our sins had created that barrier, and as soon as we accept that truth, that barrier is broken down, and we can begin to mend that relationship that I was lacking for so long with God. And that was that void that was in my life that I was always looking for. I tried to fill it with everything that the world could offer. I tried to fill that void with. And the answer was right there the whole time. You know, we accept that gift, and our actions, our decisions all change because we're focused on that prize now. We don't need to worry about being perfect or never making mistakes. It's not about earning our way. It's about believing and having faith. That faith then will drive your actions as it did mine. You know, because you're not trying to score points anymore. You're not trying to earn your way back. It's because faithful actions are the result of a relationship with a good and perfect God. That's it. You know, you have the faith and your actions will lean that way. You know, you don't have a separate agenda of, okay, I'm going to be nice because I'm going to try and earn my way back in. It's just you believe, you have faith, you have that relationship, and your actions are natural. It's the natural tendency of things. It's just how it all falls into place. I'd like to invite the band up, if I could. James 1:2-4. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. You know, I hope my testimony has helped a little bit today. I feel privileged to be up here. I know that it's helped me. I hope that it's given each of you a little more reason to continue to work on your relationship with God and attitude towards God. You know, that's the new attitude for a new year. You know, as I've always said, any time that I talk about this kind of thing, I'm sure I get more out of it than anybody else because it's something that I need to remind myself on a daily basis. You know, I need to hear this as much as I need to be preached to, you know? And if the decision is made and the action's taken, I promise you that God will, He'll reward your efforts. He'll bless you in the overabundance that He's blessed me in. You know, all those things in my life that I had, I still have. You know, fortunately, I made the decision before it was too catastrophic and it was not repairable as far as a relational standpoint with my children, with my wife, with my family, with my friends. You know, God, He took my worst problem and made it my greatest success through His love for me, through His love for all of us. You know, and before they play, I just want to I want to play that video one more time. You know, I think it's really powerful. I'd like you to listen to the words and really absorb what God's trying to say to you. Absorb what He's trying to say to you right now, today. So as you go out today, you know, I want you to focus on living a life of gratitude each moment. A new attitude for the new year. I know it's hard. It's hard every day. But like I said, it's about progress, not perfection. You know, look at the blessings that you have in your life. Everything around you, from your family to your ability to have a loving relationship with the Creator of the universe. He wants to be in your life, so let Him in. You know, don't miss out on the opportunities you have every day to enjoy your life. Force yourself to step out of your norm and be grateful for life and blessings that God's given you. Do I do it all the time? No. You know, this is advice I need to remind myself of every day. But He'll fill the void in your lives with fulfillment and purpose, I promise you. Because I know. Because He did it for me. Have a great week. Thanks.